Just two verses this evening. I've preached so many times on these two verses, and every time I think I've got there, I've nailed it, and then I go back a little later and I realise I hadn't nailed it at all. There's still far more in this verse than I ever realised. And you know, I'll be honest with you, the older I get, the bigger this verse grows. I'm shrinking with age. This verse is getting bigger. And I'm just going to scratch the surface of it this evening. But it's still worth scratching the surface because it's a fabulous little piece of scripture. Philippians 2 verses 12 and 13. Therefore, my dear friends, don't forget he's just told us all about Jesus and he's exalted Jesus, how Jesus came from heaven and died on the cross for us and rose, and his name is above all names, and one day every knee will bow. He's exalted Jesus. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. I want you just to imagine for a second that you're living in a land which has been ruined by injustice and tyranny and poverty. There's chaos reigns. The government of the country is untrustworthy and incapable and dangerous and tyrannical. It's easy for me because I'm reading the biography of Mao Zedong at the moment, and it's just one of the most horrific stories that you could possibly read, a sociopath in charge of a billion people. And imagine yourself in a country that's oppressed and dangerous and suffering. Then somebody invites you to join the resistance and says that they want you to fight with them for a better world, a fairer world. This is the beginning of the change, and you realise that you can change. Instead of being part of the problem, you can now become part of the solution. And you've been rescued from the corruption, from giving way to the system, and for just ignoring the challenges and turning your back on the injustices and the corruption. You've changed, and you've suddenly seen something with dignity, something with honour, something worth fighting for. And now you decide, I'm going to do something about it. Now, here's my question. Is that a personal salvation that you've just experienced? Or is it something bigger? Is it something that's just about you? Or is it something about much bigger scheme of affairs? I say this because so much Christian preaching dumbs the gospel down to just a personal salvation. It's all about going to heaven when you die, which really is not a biblical emphasis. I mean, that's there, it's part of becoming a Christian. But as you read the Bible, and I encourage you to do so, and read the New Testament, you won't find in that the motive for salvation so much of going to heaven when you die as of serving God's purpose while you live. It's not a personal salvation. Jesus didn't come to save our soul, full stop. Salvation of our soul is necessary in order for us to carry out God's will. We've got to start with the salvation of our soul. Jesus has to be our Saviour. He's got to die on the cross for our sins and rise from the dead. But it's not just about me going to heaven when I die. It's about me becoming part of God's kingdom, if you like, joining the resistance and going along with God's kingdom, God's plan for the salvation of the world, when there will be a new heaven and a new earth and we'll be part of it. It's bigger than me. It's not just about me. I'm not just being saved for my own benefit. I'm being saved for the benefit of others. Well, that's a very different emphasis on preaching that you from which you sometimes hear. But it's a biblical emphasis. I'm going to just illustrate it for a second. And forgive me, I'm going to do this again. I promise this is the last time. My last clip from The Matrix. Some of you just groaned, I'm sorry. But this is just my favourite clip. This is where Neo meets Morpheus. And the plot of the film, if you've been lucky enough to miss it and miss my sermons, the idea is the whole human race is caught in this plot, this computer matrix, where we're forced to live a reality. We're really slaves. We're just living in a false imaginary world. And Neo, that's Keanu Reeves in this, is going to be the guy who leads the human race out to freedom and true liberty. The spirituality is almost all borrowed from the Bible, by the way. So that's why it's worth using. This is the point where Keanu Reeves meets Morpheus and gets offered the opportunity, the challenge. Would he go for it or would he not? Plug it in. There's a huge amount of Christian spirituality in that, the world being pulled over our eyes so that we don't see the truth. Wouldn't Paul agree with that? That the world, in the powers of this world, the rulers of this world, and that Jesus offers us the truth to see the world as it really is. There's a tremendous amount of Christian spirituality in that. But I just love that moment. To me, that's the moment. When does he take the blue pill or the red pill? And that's a fantastic picture of becoming a Christian. You take the blue pill, you just go on living the same way, and you have the world pulled over your eyes as it's always been. Or you take the red pill and you follow Jesus. And Jesus begins to unpack things for you and show you what you need to do, how together we're to change the world. Who maybe knows, be out on the high street at 2 o'clock on a Saturday morning with street pastors. Could be anything. I can see you're seriously underwhelmed by all that. Well, never mind. I think it's fantastic. It's all about working out your salvation. Here you are. Is it the blue pill or the red pill? If it's the red pill, you're going to have to become a Christian and follow Jesus and work out your salvation. Now, what does that mean? Well, Alec Mattea, in his commentary, said there are three words which explain that. There's obedience, responsibility, and sensitivity. Those are the three words which he feels unpack these two verses. Paul says to obey, not just what Paul says, but obey what Jesus is taught through Paul. Do what you've been told. Put into practice what you've been told. Don't know, have you ever been under a therapist of some kind? Yeah? Physiotherapist, speech therapist. They're all tyrants. They all nag you to death, and you sit there and you say, you nod your head and enthusiastically you say, yes, I understand this exercise, and you practice this exercise, and you say, yes, I will go home and I will do this exercise. Do you? Well, maybe you do for a week, and then you just get caught up in other things. And the thing is, because you've done the exercise, whatever was the problem starts to get better. And when it starts to get better, you forget to do the exercise. I'm not talking about me here, of course. But other people. And Paul says, you know, you've got to obey. Got to obey. You can either take the blue pill and go back to comfort and just ignoring it, or you can take the red pill and start obeying and doing what you're called to do. Leave the comfort of the known world, even if you are a slave, for the discomfort of a world where you're not a slave, but you have a responsibility. Salvation isn't about belonging to a church. It isn't about a personal encounter with God. It isn't about doing, well, it is. It's about doing all those things, but not on their own. You belong to a church, and there's more to it. You have a personal encounter with God, but there's more to it. You do what the Lord instructs you. Do you see what I mean? Salvation is broad and rich. It's not just about me going to heaven when I die. It's about me becoming part of this revolution that God is bringing about on earth. The kingdom of God has come among you, said Jesus. And we're called to be part of it. So we have an obedience. That obedience then leads us to responsibilities. Work out your salvation, says Paul. One of these great Greek words, katagazomai. I'm telling you that for no other reason than I like the sound of the word. But it's a lovely word, isn't it? It rolls off the tongue beautifully. Katagazomai. Working out your salvation. Which means like you'd completely harvest a field. Or you'd completely mine a vein of gold. You work it out. You just take it to its completion. And he says, that's what you do with your salvation. I want you to just go and take your salvation to where it leads you and just do it all. Do whatever God tells you. Work it out until it's all done. To the very last exercise, to the very last corner of the field, to the very last ounce of gold. Work out your salvation. Whatever God's calling you to do, take it to the end. Salvation, says Mattia, is a possession to be explored and enjoyed more fully. That's kind of idea here, isn't it? Just take it and you do a bit of work, then you find there's more work to do, and there's more, and the more you uncover, the more you do, the more you discover there's still to be done. You just begin to work it through. I don't know, have you ever been to the copper mines on the Great Orme? One of the greatest tourist attractions in the United Kingdom. And it's here on our doorstep. A lot of people don't even know, but it wasn't discovered until 1989 anyway. But they give you a hard hat, and you go down the mine that was hammered out of the rock of the Great Orme 500 years before Abraham left for the Promised Land. And you follow, you can see where the tunnel has just followed the ore. So you haven't got a straight tunnel. You just it bends and it goes. You can just see where they followed the ore of copper deeper and deeper into the mountain. As Morpheus says to Neo in the film, do you want to see how deep the rabbit hole goes? You follow it to the end. That's working out your salvation. Going, I mean, it's easy for me to say it's because it led me to the middle of Brazil, which is really quite exotic. Not everyone has that privilege, you know. For some people, it actually leads you next door to your neighbour. Down the street to somebody who needs you. It's given us for free, but we must follow it, follow where Jesus is leading us. It's a common theme in Philippians. Let's take quickly at three verses. Philippians 1, verse 6. Being confident of this, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. You've got the idea of working your salvation till it's all done. Philippians 1, 10 to 11. So that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, the Lord God. We are kept until the day of Christ. We are filled with righteousness and the fruit of righteousness, the fruit of belonging to God's kingdom until the day of Christ. And in fact, the whole of chapter 3 is about this, really. But we'll just look at chapter 3, verse 14. I press on towards the goal to win the prize which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. The idea of working it out until the very end. We're saved by Christ on the cross. We are being saved by Christ on the cross. We will be saved by Christ on the last day. Our salvation just goes on for eternity. I came across an old hymn by Augustus Toplady. Guess kind of sort of thing we've got coming now. The work which his goodness began, the arm of his strength will complete. His promise is yea and amen, and never was forfeited yet. Things future nor things that are now, nor all things below or above, can make him his purpose forego, or sever my soul from his love. Well, it's not Sing Along with Hillsong, is it? It's one of the old hymns, but it's a great hymn. It's a beautiful, beautiful depth and truth in those words. We obey. Obedience, responsibility, and finally, sensitivity to the word of God. Let's have that verse back on the screen. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. At the moment, Paul is in chains, literally, confined by the boundaries. I don't want you to imagine that you don't have boundaries when you serve Christ. There are places you can't go and will never go if you're serving Christ. There are boundaries. Paul was in chains. Now, some people are carers for others. They're very limited in what they can do. They must focus on caring. Some struggle with disabilities, and those disabilities don't allow them to do everything they would love in their hearts to do, but they must focus on what's in front of them. Some have young toddlers, some are unemployed, some have a demanding career or studies, and have to focus on that at this particular point in their life. There are boundaries. We can't just go and do everything that we'd like. It'd be wonderful, wouldn't it, to save the world, be Superman, but we're not. Where each of us is given our own work to do, if you like, our own vein of copper to mine until it's done. The moment we leave this church this evening, we enter our mission field. But I say that actually the church itself is a mission field as well. We've got to work out our salvation within the church and out there in the community with fear and with trembling. That's not the fear of punishment. That's the fear of making a loving father sad. Our great fear and trembling is that we let our heavenly Father down. He calls us to this wonderful, wonderful challenge to be world changers through the power of the Holy Spirit of God in us, to preach Christ to the nations, and we fear we might let him down. But God doesn't stop working in us. God doesn't cease to work in us because we are lazy or stagnant or sloppy. If he did, there would be no hope for us. God somehow manages to overcome our indiscretions, our failures, our moments of weakness. We all have them. But God is at work. And it's God who works in you. Interestingly enough, it's not the same word as working out our salvation. Remember, working out our salvation was katagozomai. Oh, yes. We work out our salvation. Here, it's God who works in you. It's energeo. Now, you can see where that word's coming from, can't you? Energeo. It's God who energizes us. God who gives us the power and the will to pass through and to do. We could not even begin to seek him unless he had first found us. We could not do anything for him unless he had started it in us, says Mattia. One last illustration. Just imagine for a second that you're dying because your heart's giving up. And you're in the hospital and you think it's curtains, and you're planning your funeral, and you're going to call the children and say, who's going to have grandfather's pocket watch? And, you know, you're on your last legs, your heart's giving way, and then in comes the doctor and with a team of about 15 people behind him, and he says, Peter, or your name, I got good news for you. We've got a new heart. And you whisk to the operating theatre, and you come out of the operating theatre and you have a new heart, and you've suddenly got breath, you've got energy, you've got the ability to get up and walk, you can climb a mountain. And did you earn that new heart? No, you didn't earn it. Did you deserve it? No, there's no way you could deserve it. Was it given you by grace? Yes, it was given you by grace. And if you want to carry the Christian imagery further, of course, it was only given to you because somebody else died. And in a sense, you can say, well, as Christians, we're given new life because Christ died for us on the cross. But he's given us a new heart. He's given us a new start in life. I live because somebody else died. Now, what am I going to do with this gift of life? Just think about it for a second. I've been given this gift of life. I was dead. I was lost. I've been given this gift of life. What am I going to do with it? Wouldn't it be a tragedy if I threw it away? If I did something stupid? If I began just with a lifestyle, if I began drinking heavily or just kind of slopped out in front of EastEnders for the rest of my life, you know? What a tragedy that would be. Well, no offence to those who watch EastEnders. I'm sure you do other things as well in life rather than that. But you know what I mean? Just become a couch potato. Use that energy. Wouldn't you want to use that new energy, new heart? I think I would. To do something. Just to get out there and make a difference in other people's life. I've been given new life. Let me share what I've got with the world. Isn't that what Paul is saying here? Make it worth the sacrifice of Jesus. Work out your salvation. You've been given a new life. You've taken... I've got now, it's the red pill or the blue pill. It's the red pill, isn't it? You've taken the red pill. And your eyes have suddenly been opened to the truth. And before you have your life's work. Go and do it. Work out your salvation. Keep on at it because God's energy, God's power is flowing through you. Doesn't that make you want to go out and be a Christian tomorrow morning? Out there, wherever you are. However tough it is, that's where you're called to be. That's working out your salvation. The challenge is, as a church, as we work out our salvation together, what are the challenges? God's given us a number this year. Work out our salvation. I'm going to ask the band to join me on the platform for a second. I'm just going to pray. Father, I just want to thank you for your salvation. Given freely, by grace. We didn't deserve it. We didn't work for it. We didn't earn it. You gave us Jesus. He died in our place on the cross so that we might live. That we might live for your glory. That we might work out our salvation. Do what you called us to do. Be effective in the world. Make a difference. And Lord, as a church, we're called into this ministry together because we're so much more effective when we work together, when we pool our resources. So, Father, we're being called to work out our salvation this year as a church by employing Freya from September as our full-time youth worker, and just to work with young people and just break through into the schools. Be called to work out on the streets of Bangor, the street past us in the early hours of Saturday morning. Called to share our life with my Skerchen estate and with Bob and the work there, and just to help on one of the poorest estates in the area. Be called to run the Alpha course, invite people to that, and run mothers and toddlers and 60 plus group and home groups and children's work. Lord, you're calling us to all this. This is our salvation we've got to work out. What a privilege as a church. Lord, energize us by the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen.